forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore.
If I were a wise man, I would travel far. And if I were a shepherd, I would do my part. But poor as I am, I will give to him my heart.
And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore.
And
he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. Unto us a child is born, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. And here within a manger lies the one who made the starry skies. This baby born for sacrifice, Christ the Messiah. Into our hopes, into our fears, the Savior of the world appears, the promise of eternal years, Christ the Messiah. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. And he shall reign forevermore, forevermore. And he shall reign forevermore, Lord of lords, and he shall reign forevermore,
You know, we like to say in this world when bad things happen, well, God is in control and Jesus is in charge. But the scriptures actually indicate that there's a lot more going on in the world than that. Do you see the evidence? But one day, everything will follow his will. We pray for it every day. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One day, he will reign forevermore, and there will be no rebellion against the law of love, which is what messes up this world. I'm so thankful for that. By the way, I hope you'll join me in praying. Today, our church lady and her family are laying to rest her mom. At a service up at PUC Church at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Maybe some of you might be able to make it up there. But anyway, so please pray for their family. And also, Weldon Schumacher went to his rest this week. And so pray for Cindy and Brian and the rest of the family. And we'll be announcing when his services will be in the first part of the year. So a lot to pray for and remember, and to look forward to the hope of the resurrection. Let us pray right now. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you did come, Jesus, that you sent your only begotten Son for us, that he became one of us, and that because of that we can live. We can have life more abundantly now, and we can look forward to when he comes and makes all things new. Oh, Father, right now, as you're making all things new, we ask you to start right now in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, how many of you are going to be traveling this Christmas season? Any of you going to be out of town this Christmas season? We are traveling, I think I calculated 978 miles one way. We are going to be going up to my mother's house in Fortuna in Humboldt County. And then from there, we're picking her up and we're taking her up to my brother's place in Walla Walla. Walla Walla, California. Thank you. That was a really nice thing to do. Walla Walla, Washington. And so that's 978 miles. I'm wondering if there's anyone here going any further than that. Anyone going any further than 978 miles? You going across the country? Out of the country? Out of the country. Is anyone else going out of the country this Christmas? Out of the country. Well, we are here actually to celebrate the greatest, longest journey. But as I think about my journey, one of my least favorite things about going on trips is packing. Don't you love packing? This is the right size to be what? Travel experts? Yeah, this is carry-on. And by the way, I want you to know it's loaded down with heavy things, very heavy things, really heavy things. Actually, it's empty. But I think I'm going to be using this for the trip. I usually use it, of course, as my carry-on luggage. And then this would be my checked bag. For example, when I went back east for the North American Division year-end meetings, this is the one. I wanted to be sure to take a few suits and blazers and stuff like that so I could be presentable and not embarrass y'all when I'm back there. But anyway, so we get these, we lay them out, and we fill them up. We think about what we're going to be doing. Am I going to be doing any outdoor activities? Is it going to be cold? Is it going to be hot? How do I want to present myself? Do I need to bring spiffy, nice clothes? What are the casual clothes I'm going to bring just to have fun in? All of these things, when we're getting ready for that trip, we take these suitcases, we take these bags, and we fill them up, and we fill them up, and we fill them up with what we need for that trip. Well, when I think about the longest trip that ever was taken, that we know of, the trip of Jesus, as he came to this earth, not only across physical distance, but across spiritual distance, the greatest, longest trip that was ever taken, it would be logical to ask, Jesus, how did you pack for that trip? What did you get together for that trip? And I have to tell you, that the answer is, Jesus did the opposite. Philippians 2, verses 6 through 7. After telling us to follow this pattern, it says this. It says, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. So when Jesus was preparing for this great trip from across the universe to come on his rescue mission to this earth, far from packing things to take with him on that journey, he actually shed things. He emptied himself. But it's not the only thing he did. That's the emptying part. What about the full part? John chapter 1. That great scripture that enunciates the incarnation so beautifully and poetically. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so on the one hand, Jesus emptied himself. And on the other hand, he was full. What did he empty himself of? Jesus emptied himself of equality with God. Did you notice that in the scripture? He emptied himself. He didn't count equality with God something to be grasped. He emptied himself of his divine authority. And he emptied himself of his own inherent power. Jesus emptied himself of all of these things that you would think would have given him the greatest advantage in coming to the most dangerous place in the universe for himself. A place dominated by the rebellion. A place where his arch enemy seemed to have his sway so much and so often and through so many servants and people working on his behalf and in his power. He emptied himself of his equality with God. He emptied himself of his authority, and he emptied himself of his power. And it's interesting, I'm not going to say what did he fill himself with, because what he was full of, he already had. He didn't do it special to come to this earth. He was full of grace, and he was full of truth. That's what it says in John chapter 1. Full of grace, full of truth. Empty of his divine prerogatives, his authority, and his power, and full of grace and truth. Jesus kept his character and emptied himself of his rights and his power. Can you see that? From those two scriptures, he kept his character and emptied himself of his rights and power. And that is how he prepared himself for the great trip. Kept his character of grace, of truth, all summarized in love that's completely self-giving, and emptied himself of his divine prerogatives, of the status of God, of the authority of God, and of the power of God inherent in himself. This is what Jesus did for his trip. Now you know, Jesus is not the only traveler who has taken that trip from heaven to earth. There is another, at least another, recorded in Scripture who took that same trip, only this one did not go on a round trip. This one is still here, who took a trip from heaven to earth. And you might well ask yourself, well, did he prepare? And if he did, or whether he did or not, what did he bring with himself? What paved the way for his trip from heaven down to earth? We see recorded in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, an accounting of this trip of Lucifer to come to this earth. This trip that's described in Revelation chapter 12, where it says he was cast down and is full of great anger and wrath, and to watch out, people of earth. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Does that sound like any kind of emptying, or does that sound more like packing? I just thought about that. He came packing, folks. That sounds like packing. Lucifer bolstered himself, built himself up in his own eyes, and tried to do so in the eyes of other angels. And as the record of Revelation 12 tells us, he swept a third of the stars of heaven representing the angels. He convinced at least a third of the angels that he was the one, that he was the one who had the right and the prerogatives to rule and to call the shots. Oh yes, he filled himself up before he went out of heaven. Look at it, the record in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 17. I'm used to these in the King James, and that's why I put the King James for you. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. so far from casting aside any prerogatives that he had, any powers that he had, any position that he had, he sought to fill up with more power, more position, more pride, more self-regard, all of these things. And so it was that when they met on the field of temptation in the wilderness, after Jesus was baptized, after the Father smiled down on him and said, "My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," there when he was hungry, there when he was broken down, and they met in the wilderness, what does Lucifer try to do with Jesus, who has emptied himself for this trip to earth, who has laid aside his prerogatives so that he could come here and fulfill the mission that had been on his heart since before the foundation of the earth? Lucifer says to Jesus, "Fill yourself up. It was a mistake to empty yourself. Fill yourself up. Looking at you, I can't even see who you are or were. Fill yourself up. If you are the Son of God, do this. If you are the Son of God, do that. And failing that, worship me." Point proven. The one who emptied himself face to face with the one who filled himself up. Tempted to walk the same path. Tempted, even with the flickering ideas of fulfilling that mission, to refill and do it right. You might say, okay, so Jesus overcome. Jesus overcame those temptations, and we cite the scriptures where it says, "It is written, it is written, it is written, he overcame those temptations." And you might say that's very fine to look at Jesus and say, look how he emptied himself. Look how he remained in the character that he had, full of grace and truth, summarized by love. But what does that do? What does that have to do with me, a follower of Jesus here in the 21st century? It's nice to say he was our example, but he was Jesus. He, after all, was God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. But the fact of the matter is, if you go through the gospel record, if you go through the stories, and you go through what Jesus said about himself, you will find that he used the same tools, the same resources that you are able to have packed with you right here and right now. James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, talking about temptation. And this is not saying, here's how Jesus did it, sure wish you could do it. This is saying, here's how it's done. This is, in fact, the way that Jesus met the tempter who fell to earth himself. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Can you see reflected that emptiness that Jesus had? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus remained emptied of his divine prerogatives. He didn't stand there in front of Satan and say, "Don't you know who I am? Get out of here." He emptied himself and remained emptied. And by the word and power of the Father, he submitted himself to God. He resisted the devil, and the devil fled from him. You might say, well, that's all well and good for the temptations and everything, but what about the miracles? Surely Jesus did the miracles in his own divine power, but the scriptures reflect otherwise. Jesus testified to the Pharisees and the others, "I can of myself do nothing." He had emptied himself of his divine power and prerogatives. Now we are told and understand that at any moment, He actually could have chosen to take them all back, but he did not. As he walked this earth, he committed and stayed as a human being, God in the flesh, depending on a power outside of himself. I can of my own self do nothing, Jesus said. John 14:11 goes on to say, as he's preparing to leave the disciples and go back to heaven, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Is that clear to you? Jesus clearly came not only to be our Savior, but to be our example. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came from heaven to make the way so that as many as possible who would believe and trust in him could make the journey back to heaven with him when he comes the second time. He is our example. And you know what? You might be amazed as we think about Jesus' journey from heaven to earth. As we think about how it was possible for him coming from heaven to earth. But you know what? The same way that he made and prepared for the trip from heaven to earth is the same way that you and I prepare to go on the trip that we look forward to, along with all who have fallen asleep in Jesus, from earth to heaven. It's the same way, the same preparation that Jesus made coming from heaven to earth is the same preparation for you and I to go from earth to heaven when he comes. How did he do it? Let's review. Empty, full. Empty, full. He emptied himself of the place of God. He emptied himself of his position to call the shots. He emptied himself of depending on his own power. Are you starting to get it? Are you starting to see how this works? Because man, we are not born that way either, are we? We are not born feeling like we are to submit to anyone or under anyone, right? Not one of us. And by the way, I want to caution you, as we are looking at these things, if the words he, she, them come into your mind, in other words, anything in the third person, I want you to kick that out right now. Because this message is not going to be powerful if everybody is looking at who else should do this. Oh man, I hope so-and-so is listening. No. This message only has its power when, under the grace and trusting in our Heavenly Father, we receive His Word and say, Lord, do this in me. This is your call on me. So He gave up taking the place of God, which was rightfully His because He was God in heaven. He was God to God on earth, and He could have kept that. But he gave that up and let God, the Father, be God while he was here on earth. He could have claimed and exercised his power and his authority to get everybody orchestrated around him, serving him. But what did he say when he was talking to the disciples? He said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The ultimate act of service. And he didn't come trying to gather power to himself to see how he could make things happen in his own strength. He gave that up and trusted and depended on the Father through the Holy Spirit. And so we are called to let go of the same things, and we are called to fill up with the same things that Jesus was full of. As he presented himself to the world, in John chapter 1, it says, as he presented himself and through him the Father was presented to the world, what was presented? What does the world witness? What does the world experience through Jesus? It experiences grace and truth. And do you know what? That is why you are here right now on this world. That is why you are here representing him, as he wants to manifest through you what it means to be full of grace and truth. In our New Believer Sabbath School class this morning, we were talking about forgiveness and how that when we truly receive the forgiveness and grace of God, we cannot help but be filled with that same grace and forgiveness. And so when we encounter the faults of others, realizing and recognizing, like that servant in Matthew 18 who was forgiven so much but forgot all about it, realizing like he should have, I have received so much grace, I would not be able to live, I would not be able to stand, I would not be able to hold my head up if it wasn't for the grace and forgiveness of God. When someone else offends against you, when someone else has messed up, slipped up, purposely done something, you recognize, I have received so much grace. How can I have anything but grace and forgiveness for the others around me when so much has been lavished upon me? And truth, presenting God and his ways as he really is, his ways as they really are, full of grace and truth, empty of power for self, of self-assertion, full of grace and truth. Jesus kept his character and he emptied himself of his rights and power. Think about that for a moment. Let the Holy Spirit stir that around with your life as you live it, as he calls you to live it. Jesus kept his character and emptied himself of his rights and power. Does he call you to do the same? You wonder, how do I get the character of Jesus? Well, I'm so happy to tell you. You get the character of Jesus by trusting in Jesus, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he came to earth for you, that through no acts of your own, no works of your own, simply by trusting in him and coming into him as you are, acknowledging your sin, your brokenness, that is, if you confess your sin to him, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He is faithful to open his arms and welcome you into his family and call you his brother, his sister, sons and daughters of God. And he is willing and able to change you and transform you as you look unto him, as we looked in Hebrews, the author and finisher of our faith, as you're transformed into his likeness from glory to glory. He is able to give you, yes, for us, it is a filling up process, this getting the character of God, that character of grace and truth. It doesn't happen overnight, but as you receive his grace, And believe the truth about him and his heart for you and what he's done for you in Jesus, then you become filled with that grace, filled with that truth, filled with his ways, filled with his pure and holy love. And then you are free to let him empty you of your self asserting, self-protecting ways that damage your relationships, our relationships, every day in ways tiny and huge. emptied of our rights and our power. How does this look in real life? Jesus' followers live to love and not to make sure we get our way. Full of love, emptied of the agenda, I have to get my way. Oh, that happens over and over in situations every day when what we want comes up against what somebody else wants, right? Jesus' followers live to love. The agenda in any interaction, the agenda in any engagement, in any situation, now no longer becomes, how can I get my way? But how can I love? How can I be a living demonstration of the love of God the way He really is? How can I serve? Jesus' followers live to serve and not to make sure that we are served. Can you see how this parallels the filling and the emptying of Jesus? Jesus' followers live to serve and not to make sure that we are served. This is radical because this is going against what we are naturally filled up with practically from birth, right? What we're filled with from birth is the desire to get our way and to make sure other people get us what we want and what we need. You know, it's not necessarily insidious or evil. You know, when a baby cries for food, is that evil? No, but that's in the wiring. You there, I don't know your name. Someday I'll call you mama. I want food. I'm hungry. And you are there to get that to me. Right? But when you're born again, the math changes. The equation changes. Jesus' followers live to serve and not to make sure that we are served. Jesus' followers live with arms wide open, welcoming, looking at others. Oh, we're met with tests of this every day, aren't we? As people cross our paths who are different in ways that sometimes are appalling to us. And other ways that aren't appalling to us, but they're just different, and so we just naturally don't gravitate and want to connect or welcome or open up any channels of relationship or communication. But Jesus' followers, driven by love, live with arms wide open and not with hearts closed by pride or prejudice. Can you see that? Because that's how Jesus was, right? You remember Jesus often seen with the sinners, even though it harmed his reputation in ways that people counted a reputation to be harmed? Jesus' followers, just like Jesus, live with arms wide open and not with hearts closed by pride or prejudice. When we encounter someone in need, as Jesus changes our heart, and I'm saying these things not to make you feel guilty or to be disgusted with yourself in any way. Everything that Jesus is calling you to today is a promise. It's something He is able and willing and will do in your life as you say yes to Him. Just like the crippled, when Jesus said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk," when he chose to do what he couldn't do, Jesus made it happen. Even so, with us, we encounter someone disheveled and their hand out on the street, and we're like, oh, brother, why do we have this going on in our town? Jesus changes the wiring of your heart. And your agenda becomes not how do I get around this person without eye contact and having to deal with them as a human. Your agenda becomes how do I love this person? Effectively, in a way that will better them. People in your family that just get to you, irritate you by doing the same things over and over again. You wouldn't notice it so much, except you live with them. You say, Jesus finds a way in you to welcome the people who are closest to you and the people who are furthest from you in proximity. How can this all happen? How can this all be? I think of the scripture. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ in me living. I don't live it myself. It's him living in me. And so it is that Jesus' followers live full of his ways and empty of self. That's a miracle, folks. We are not born that way. Any inclination we have for how to survive this or that situation or life itself doesn't seem to tell us this. But that's exactly how Jesus' followers live, full of his ways and empty of self. We cannot do it. But praise the Lord, though Jesus has gone back to heaven, what did he say he would do when he went to heaven to his disciples? He said he would send his Spirit. And his Spirit's first job in your life is to call you to Jesus. His first, when you hear a voice in your heart saying, I really need to give myself to Jesus. Forgiveness, this load of guilt, I need to be freed from that. I need his forgiveness. I need to be his child. I need to answer that, for God so loved the world that whoever believes in, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I need to believe in Jesus. I need to receive that forgiveness. I need to receive that change in my life. That's the Holy Spirit that has talked to your heart and called you to do that. And of course, the only thing to do with that invitation is to say yes and let him do that. And that process of being filled, that process of being filled takes place. You're emptied of the guilt. You're emptied of the agenda that it's you first. It's you that have to look out for yourself. You that have to get yours. You that have to make sure that you get your way. That transformation happens as you are born again. And Jesus, by his Holy Spirit, comes to live in you the way he lived in the world so long ago. In short, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27, Paul says it's the great mystery. We talk about the mystery of the first incarnation, how Jesus came from heaven to earth. And there is so much mystery in it. What does it mean for him to be divine and human at the same time? People debate it and people argue about it. But what is undeniable is that as he came, he did exactly what we read in the scriptures. He emptied himself. He emptied himself of his prerogatives, of his authority, of his power, of his calling the shots. He emptied himself. He emptied himself so much that even as he took the unbelievable, infinite step of humiliation of coming from his divine prerogatives in heaven to coming down to this earth as a human being, he emptied himself further. And so when we see him on the cross, he's emptied of all human dignity even. All for the dream that you would say yes to his invitation to be in his family and to let him turn you into the kind of person that the invitation goes and goes as people see him the way he really is. Emptied of self and full of grace and truth, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so, in one way or another, it might bore you, but I always ask the same question. Will you say yes to him? Yes, Lord, empty me of self. Fill me with you. Yes, Lord, as I walk through life and encounter the usual situations that I encounter in my life that test that, by your Spirit, remind me and renew this yes to you. Empty me of self. Fill me with you. Save me in your kingdom. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for sending Jesus to earth. So empty and so full. Empty of self and full of grace and truth. Oh, Father, I want to pray, first of all, for any who are here who have been living lives that have been filled with guilt and shame, a sense of not belonging in your family. Father, I pray that the new day starts right now with believing, Jesus, you came for me. Jesus, you died for my sins. Jesus, you rose so that you could go to heaven, intercede for me, come back and get me to be in your family. I believe, I trust you. Thank you for forgiving my sins. Thank you for accepting me into your family. And thank you for your Spirit to live a new life. And Father, I pray for all of us here as we look at the real situations of our lives, at the real temptations that we face, as the real encounters that we have with people. Oh, Father, let what was true of Jesus, what is true of Jesus, be true of us. Father, we say yes every day. Wake us up seeking you, emptied of self. Yes, Father, every day, fill us with your grace and truth to show and to give freely upon a world that needs you so much. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me as